Hello and welcome to The 100 Podcast. It's Charlie here. Hope you're well. I had the pleasure of catching up with Welsh fire all-rounder Luke Wells. His T20 game with bat and ball has come on leaps and bounds in the last few seasons since he moved to Lancashire. It's a real transformation of sorts for him. And now, of course, he's making his debut in franchise cricket. He came on the show to tell us all about it. Luke, it's a real pleasure to have you on. Thanks so much for taking the time to do this. It's much appreciated. Congratulations on your Welsh fire selection. Was that something that you were working on this season, playing for Lancashire in the Blast? Did you have this World Cup pick in the back of your mind?
Firstly, thank you. And secondly, yeah, probably. A little bit. Obviously, everyone knows that there were two potential World Cup picks for each team this year. And, you know, everyone knows the landscape of cricket, how it's changed. And every time you get an opportunity in the short form of the game, it's like a stage, you know, that you can try and perform and put yourself in that window for hopefully people to look at and impress. And obviously you want to, by doing that, you'll be helping the team massively as well. So I think my primary focus was how can I contribute to the team's success in whatever way I can. And then off the back of that, yeah, it's in the back of your mind that if you are doing well, and you might get an opportunity, but it still feels a bit strange. You know, I haven't played that much T20 cricket. I still feel like a fairly inexperienced T20 player that's just really enjoying it as I'm going. So to get the opportunity was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I really want to focus a little bit on your kind of transformation in the last couple of years as a T20 cricketer, because if I'm not mistaken, before 2021, you'd only scored 7 T20 runs. And now you're in a position where you've become a genuinely very good T20 all-rounder. You're playing franchise cricket. I mean, to me, on paper, it's such a remarkable transformation. And I guess I'm curious to know what you think prompted that.
Well, I think I'd only played either between three and five games, I think, over 10, 11, 12 years at Sussex. My debut was, funnily enough, in Cardiff, actually, my T20 debut, weirdly enough. And I think it was in one of my first, I can't remember what year it was now, maybe 2011, 12, something like that, 10, 11. Quite a long time ago now. Didn't really know what I was doing, but could hit a strong ball, got injured in the field and didn't play again that year. And then, you know, because I think at the start of my career, I probably didn't have the game, to be fair. Obviously, you can't learn T20 skills if you're not playing. I think opportunity is the key. But, you know, when I started, I was a fairly limited top order red ball batsman. You know, I could hit high front elbow, score straight down the V, didn't really cover drive, didn't really play the cut shot, left everything outside off and just sort of crabbed my way around to effectively, but not particularly eye-catchingly at the start of my career. So I think my batting has developed over the years. I've got a much stronger offside game. And as I've played a lot more, in general, not just T20 cricket, but all cricket, I've sort of opened up most scoring areas now. And so, yeah, I think at the time, throughout my career at Sussex, you know, my bowling would never have been really viewed upon as an option at all. We had quite a strong T20 bowling side, likes of Michael Yardie, spinners, Will Beer. Later on, you know, they got Rashid Khan in and all these guys. So, I mean, that was towards the end of my Sussex career that he was there. But I would never have been considered for my bowling. It was either, I think I was viewed upon either he opens and plays a sort of anchor role or there's no way he'd be playing at all. And I think after a few years, you sort of get overlooked, pigeonholed, and that feeds into... It's not an excuse, but I think that feeds into your own vision of yourself as well. You sort of start to believe it yourself. And also the way the seasons were structured, often I was playing sort of every 4-day game. And there were periods of time where you'd have the 4 days and the T20s sort of running concurrently. You'd have T20s on Friday nights. And so we're playing the 4 day game. The second team will be playing a T20 game whilst I'm playing a 4 day game. Then obviously that game might go from Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever, day off Thursday, play the T20 first team on Friday. I wouldn't play, but I've missed my opportunity in the second team to try and prove a point, play another 4 day and off we go. And then suddenly another T20 season's gone. And then we had such a good side with, I didn't have the opportunity to get enough sort of points in the bank really to warrant a selection. So I think that's part of the reason why, you know, it didn't happen in the manner I would have wanted it to happen. But what, since moving here, having fresh eyes on me, being an experienced player with a much more rounded game with the bat and fresh eyes on my bowling, with an attitude of why can't he do it sort of thing, and why not, as opposed to sort of trying to pigeonhole me in the negative sense. So yeah, once I got my chance in my first year here, sort of mainly as a bowler who'd bat in the middle order, you know, it was great, and I've sort of gone from there really.
So what happens when you go to Lancashire then, and you're asked, I want you to play in the T20 side primarily as a bowler? Because I mean, I can only speak for myself here, but when I started seeing you playing that role, I was surprised, not going to lie to you. It was not at all what I was expecting. As you say, you know, you'd been pigeonholed, I suppose, as very much a Red Bull traditional, you know, gritty opening batter, a top order player. To then see that guy move to Lancashire and play white ball cricket primarily as a spin bowler was genuinely a big surprise. So I suppose my question is, at what point do you realise that that's your role? At what point does it become clear to you that that's your position now in the side?
Well, to be honest, I always thought that my bowling was more suited to white ball cricket throughout. You know, ever since I started bowling, committing properly to leg spin, I can bowl both. Now I'm bowling something sort of completely different to what I've been previously bowling, to be honest. But the bounce I get, the fact it's my natural ball is back of a length. It's not sort of floated up there full for people to skip down the wicket and hit it quite easily. I'd always bowl at guys in the nets and always feel like I'm doing a good job. But I think, yeah, it's just part. I was never have been considered for it. So, and also in terms of the gritty 4 day player, I think if anyone sort of watched me develop as a batsman after my first five, six years of cricket, I was completely different batsman. Well, I'm completely different batsman now to when I started. And I was a very different batsman towards the end of the last three, four years at Sussex as well. You know, I developed a much more rounded game, both sides of the wicket. Always had the ability to take spinners down well. I suppose a couple of things that have really helped me since I've come here is I've found a better method of being able to clear the ropes against seam bowling. And I've developed a game plan, and I'm more sure of myself about how to approach T20 batting, as opposed to sort of being a bit panicky and a bit rabbit in headlights. I sort of know roughly what I'm doing. and with the ball, I've just developed, and I have, as I said, I've changed my method of bowling quite significantly this year, and luckily it's going really well so far.
Bowling to me is genuinely fascinating. If I understand correctly, this was kind of kickstarted by Rashid Khan back at Sussex, I believe, when he kind of planted that seed in your head. Can you talk to me a little bit about A, if I've got that correct, and B, how that process worked out for you?
Well, I don't know if he planted the seed or not then, but obviously back then I was bowling normal leg spin. Very much part-time, although I did get to a point where I would the team would trust me in four-day cricket at times to be sort of the main spinner if we wanted to go with an all-seam attack. But it was traditional leg spin. Obviously, I did play around with off-spin as well at the start of my career, so I've always sort of done both, but my leg spin has always been better. So obviously I love watching cricket. I've always been somebody who loves watching mystery spinners on the TV, playing games in the changing room, you know, when it's raining with a tennis ball, and, you know, copying people like, if, I don't know if you remember this name, Ajantha Mendis back in the day with his Karen ball, all these guys. And I've always fascinated and always try and copy it in the garden when I was a kid and growing, and in changing rooms. I've always had a fascination with mystery spin. So obviously Rashid Khan, I mean, teammates is a strong word. We were at Sussex at the same time, and we net together if I was lucky enough to join in at T20 training. And when I first saw him bowl, I mean, I've never seen anything like it in my life. He was bowling leg spin at a pace that seemed impossible to bowl, and nobody can pick him. And he's basically been doing that for however long he's been doing it for. And it seems like still nobody can pick him, and he's still rapid and still just the best ever. So he's showing me how he bowled his googly and things and how he grips it. And I'm there and he's right there next to me, and he's showing me exactly how he grips it. And there's no secret. He doesn't try and hide how he does it. I don't think somebody like Narine has been quite as open about how he grips the ball. And I haven't seen many, maybe I've missed them, but I've seen most interviews. I'm a bit of a cricket badger at heart, and I've never seen him talk about the way he bowls it, whereas Rashid Khan's very open. Anyway, he showed me exactly how he does it, and I tried that, and I didn't have a clue. I didn't understand how it was possible. He talks about the use of his thumb, and he doesn't really use his wrist. He doesn't come around the ball like a traditional leg spinner. He sort of flicks it. And then a different grip for his googly, and how he changes it during his run up and all this stuff. I'm like, oh my God. So obviously I try and copy it in the nets. I'm like, well, this is just ridiculous. He's just a freak of nature. Like, what even is this? Like, anyway, a couple of winters ago now, I'm watching the IPL or Big Bash or whatever it is. And they zoom in on his fingers, and they zoom in on how he releases the ball. And I have a cricket ball around or tennis ball or whatever. And I watch him, and I'm like, suddenly I feel like I understood how he bowled his googly sort of at home. I realized it's quite similar to a Karam, but with a slightly different grip. Anyway, so then I've called my bowling coach, Carl Crowe, actually, the spin bowling coach or assistant coach here at Lancashire, who's known across franchise cricket, actually. He's sort of been instrumental in helping Narine's career since he's got sort of, when he got done for throwing the ball a little bit, he's really helped remodel his action. So he knows quite a lot about spin bowling. So I called him in the middle of the winter and said, look, can we have a net? I want to practice bowling. I feel like I may have stumbled upon a method of bowling. I just want to sort of have fun and see if it works. And I explained to him what I thought Rashid Khan was doing and whatever, and I'd try it. And to start with, I mean, it was coming down halfway down the pitch half the time. Like, I couldn't. I remember bowling at Stephen Croft in the winter nets, and it was literally just every ball was just up around his armpit somewhere, just nowhere near useful for anyone, really. But I still felt like it had potential, and I really wanted to keep working on it. And then throughout last year, I was really working on it as well. But I was never brave enough to try it, especially in T20 games when I'm playing. And what I was doing was working to a degree. I was bowling traditional leg breaks and sort of darty off spinners as a change up with a Yorker. And I committed to it even more this last winter, about kept bowling this style of bowling to the point where I felt comfortable with it, comfortable enough that I could bowl it in games. I had to prove that it worked to the coaches, and I didn't have much opportunity to do that, really, because there wasn't really much warm-up games or anything from the four-day cricket to the start of the T20. But luckily, I sort of got my chance and started providing evidence that it potentially works. And And yeah, I had a much better year with the ball this year. I feel like I've still got a lot of scope to improve as well.
Are you familiar with your numbers? I assume as a Badger, you'll have definitely seen your numbers this year, but they're genuinely very impressive. 10 wickets at 21, strike rate 17, economy just over 7.4. Those are really good figures, I think, particularly for someone who hasn't bowled a great deal in T20 cricket prior to a couple of years ago. I mean, the transformation is legitimately remarkable, I think, in terms of a perception point of view, at least, if not for you, who's been working on this unbeknownst to us for a very long time. So are you still bowling a mixture of leggies and offies and kind of like Liam Livingstone, or are you just focusing on the leg spin for now?
So it's different to last year. I'm mainly bowling sort of leg spinning and googlies. And, you know, I do throw in the odd sort of Yorker now and then if I feel like a batsman's potentially lining me up or if I feel like I'm under threat. Just a lot quick, just effectively trying to copy what Rashid Khan does. Much, much, much worse level, but effectively trying to bowl the way he bowls his leg spin and his googlies, really. That's all I've been trying to do. As I think it's, you know, this day and age, batsmen are unbelievably quick on their feet. I mean, if you give them half a chance to get to the pitch of the ball, they will get there and you will be sent into the stands, you know. So trying to bowl that sort of difficult length where it's not too short, but definitely not too close to the batsman, sort of just back of a length, top of the stumps, at a pace quick enough where it's difficult to come down the wicket to, with a little bit of spin either way. That's what I've been trying to do. And I think it's been reasonably effective. And I feel like I've only been doing this in competitive cricket for a year. And I think there's a lot of scope to improve as well with the ball. I'm excited about where I could potentially take this. That's where my bowling's gone. I think my batting is sort of naturally developed over a long time. I mean, I'm not a very experienced batsman, not as much in T20 cricket, but I know my game now and I feel much more comfortable in how to go about putting T20 innings together. Once I become comfortable with the role. Hopefully those two things are helping me contribute to wins.
Yeah, the batting as well is another thing I do want to touch on briefly. I know we've spoken a lot about the bowling, but your batting's really come on leaps and bounds in T20 cricket as well. I mean, again, I mean this in the nicest possible way, but if you told me a couple of years ago that there are only two Lancashire batters to be striking above 150, and one of them was you in a team that consisted of, you know, Livingstone, Butler, Saw, I probably wouldn't have believed you, but fair play, you've done it. And it's been genuinely really impressive. What's your preferred position at the moment with the bat? Because I know you've batted at the top of the order a little bit and done well there, but then you've had some pretty useful knocks coming in five and below as well. What do you see your preferred role as being?
Well, I think opening's easier, that's for sure. With only two men out with a brand new ball, I mean, it might swing for an over, a maximum, but in general, you know, it doesn't do much. The ball's harder. Everyone's up. You feel like you've got more license. You're really in that position where you need 12 for the last over to win the game and all the pressure's on you to do it. But having said that, you know, I don't mind. As long as I'm getting in the team and getting in a position where I feel I can contribute, I'm happy. And I think, you know, the way T20 cricket is going, those middle order players who can clear the ropes from their first couple of balls are becoming, you know, even more important, because there's lots of opening batsmen who can do a really good job because, you know, it is so much easier. Whereas trying to be, you know, that middle order guy who can come in and get, you know, 20 off 10 balls, or whatever the case may be, sort of 5, 6, 7, 8 is a lot harder to do. I feel like I've developed a method where I'm confident that I can clear the ropes now. So yeah, I don't really mind. An answer to long answer to your question.
Honestly, the long answers are fascinating. Please do keep them coming. Have you spoken to anybody, Mike Cussey, Tom Abel, at the Welsh Fire setup yet about what your role in the side might be? Because I'm sure it won't have escaped your attention that you are one of very few left-handers in that squad. And you're also the only wrist spinner in that squad as well.
Yeah, no, I've touched base with Mike Cussey. Which was quite a surreal moment, being a proper cricket badger like myself, who's a left-hander, who used to love watching Australia play cricket. So that was a bit of a fanboy moment. We had a conversation. We haven't had a conversation about roles or anything like that yet. You know, whether I get selected in the 11 or not, I mean, I don't know. I do know that there's only a couple of spinners in the squad. I haven't had a discussion about what my role is specifically. But we'll just have to wait and see, really. As long as I can find a way to get into the 11, and then even more than that, try and contribute to some wins. I mean, that's the aim of the game.
If you'll humour me briefly, I think I would certainly pick you in my starting 11, being the only, I guess, top order lefty in that squad, and B, the only wrist spinner in that squad. It's a really interesting kind of balance you've got in that squad there. And legitimately, I've said this on previous podcasts, so forgive me if I'm buttering you up there here, but I really feel like your role in this team could be quite important in terms of finding that balance, I suppose. But I'm also really curious to know, Cardiff is quite an interesting ground, particularly to bowl spin at, with the very short straight boundaries and the much larger square boundaries. And historically, spin has been quite difficult to bowl there. And I feel like the selection of yourself, Roloff and the Merva, as the two main spinners in that squad is very much deliberate, because you are harder to hit straight and get under. But I'm curious to know, have you really thought about your tactics bowling at Cardiff compared to, say, Old Trafford? And is there anything that you might consider doing differently to kind of work that out? Or are you just going to back your skills and doing what you do best?
I think that I'm fortunate, like I said, because of the pace that I bowl the ball, and my height, means that I can generate a lot of bounce when I'm bowling well. So I haven't been so far this year, touch wood. Obviously, I'm going to play my first game and get belted over my head about five times in a row now. But as of yet, I haven't been sort of hit over my head too often, especially off the front foot. Don't get me wrong, it's happened a couple of times. I think I hit for 3 sixes in the T20 in the blast. I think my natural length, pace and bounce, in theory, should help in that situation, because I don't really get clobbered over my head too much. Obviously, the concentration of talent in this competition means you're going to come up against, world-class players at every game, which is really exciting. It's quite nerve-wracking, but also is it nerve-wracking? To be honest, for me, it's more excitement at the opportunity to see what I can do against these guys with the ball. Obviously, we had that quarterfinal against Surrey at Old Trafford on a pitch that didn't really spin much, to be honest. Laurie Evans, Jason Roy, all these guys, everyone knows the names. And managed to do a job in that game as well. So I feel like what I can deliver is hard to get away when I'm bowling it well. So hopefully I can do that for the Welsh Fire if given the opportunity.
100%. And I think that's a big part of the reason why the Welsh Fire have chosen you. I think it's a really good fit on paper, and I'm very excited to see how you go. So you meet up with them tomorrow, right? Although if you're listening to this now, you would already have met up with them. But is that correct?
Yeah. Meet up with the squad tomorrow, midday, down at Sophia Gardens. It'd be really cool to meet up with everyone. I don't know many of the guys personally very well. Obviously, played against them a lot, There's a couple of guys I sort of played under 19s cricket with, which was quite a while ago now. But no, just really excited to meet everyone, see what the vibe is like. You know, I feel like a bit of an outsider coming into this sort of franchise world. So it still feels a little bit surreal. But just excited really, more than anything else.
So this is your first taste of franchise cricket, I guess. I'm really curious to know how it must feel walking into a dressing room full of people you don't know, when you don't really have more than a handful of days to, you know, get to know the team, get to know everybody's roles in the side and really come together before a tournament. That must be quite a daunting experience.
Well, no, I think, you know, I suppose the beauty of franchise cricket is you're there for a reason. You're there because you're good and you've done well, and you're there for your specific skill set. So people sort of know what those skills are. Obviously, we're not turning up to, you know, completely, everyone knows who everyone is, whether you know them personally or not. Everyone knows what skills each other has. But yeah, obviously it's a strange situation. Obviously I've played a lot of county cricket now, and you develop relationships over a long period of time, and you spend so much time together, etc. So creating a sort of, you know, well-gelled team environment in the space of a few days is obviously not necessarily the natural order of things when it comes to creating a team environment. But, you know, everyone in that squad, most people in that squad have played lots of franchise cricket. They're used to sort of playing for different teams at various times of the year. And I'm sure, you know, Mike Hussey has already been sending messages, asking questions about how people like to be coached. How can he get the best out of us? And I'm sure he sent that message to everyone in the squad. So he seems like he's really keen to try and build something over the next few years at the Welsh Fire. And, you know, I know hasn't gone as well as they would have liked over the last couple of years. But I mean, now this year it's almost a completely different team, new coach and everything. So hopefully we can build something and gel really quickly and get some performances on the board.
Well, fingers crossed it all goes to plan. I think this Welsh Fire squad is really exciting on paper, and thoroughly pleased for you. You thoroughly deserve this opportunity, and I really hope it goes well. Luke, it's been a pleasure to have you on. Best of luck in the season ahead. We're looking forward to seeing you play for the Welsh Fire.
Thanks, Johnny. Thanks very much. Cheers.